Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD, brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? I'm Troy Skinner, and I encourage you to visit us online at WFMD.com, keyword faith. And I also encourage you now more than ever, perhaps, to check out the Audio Vault section of the website and listen to previous shows via podcast. We're tackling subject matter now that might be foreign to you, and it might be helpful for you to connect some dots to listen to a number of shows in sequence to get a feel for what it is exactly that we're talking about. Why do I say that? Well, because Bhupesh Mehta is the secretary of the Jain Society of Greater Washington, D.C. That's right, the Jain Society. I know that you've been salivating over learning more about Jainism. You probably, if you didn't hear the last two shows, don't even know what it is. And we're not going to revisit that over and over again on this show.
Go online and listen to those shows so that you can know what those
are
like.
We got a history lesson. We got a run-through of what their basic principles are, what their beliefs are. They are very, very different from
I get to think of
Christianity.
And so I think that we should run a comparative religions course off of the Frederick Faith Debate. We should give people tests, and we should see if we could get the university, the local community college to accredit it, because we have some pretty good quality stuff coming out of here.
Yeah.
It's not you and I, but, you know, other people.
So in 30 seconds or so, I'm going to try to wrap up some big picture things that might be important for you to get a toehold so that when we're talking for the next 25 minutes, you'll have a sense of what we're talking about. Jainism holds to three primary principles, those being nonviolence, appreciating different points of view, and non-possessiveness. Their beliefs include the idea that the body and soul are different elements. In fact, there are six basic elements, the soul being that which is consciousness, and matter being that which is non-consciousness, motion and rest, which I guess are maybe like flip sides of the same coin there, and space and time. The universe is eternal, self-sustaining. There's no God or anyone who's in control of the universe. It just is. Pure consciousness or enlightenment is kind of equated with like being God. We all are part of God. We all have a godness about us. And perfect human beings have reached enlightenment. That's what makes them perfect. Heaven and hell exist, but differently perhaps than how a Christian would understand them. In heaven, for example, it's not a final rest place, but it's a good place to go as opposed to hell. When they worship and they pray, they might talk about God, but they're not talking about God as a personal being. They're talking about God as a set of qualities that are to be aspired to and yearned for. And so it's more like praying to yourself or your own internal qualities and calling them forth into existence, perhaps, that sort of thing. And there's a whole lot more that I could run through, but that kind of gives you the basic framework of what Jainism is and what they believe. And now after an hour's worth of shows, the last 2 weeks, Jonathan, I got to say, your self-discipline and control here has been quite admirable. And so now I know you're dying to ask a question. Out of all the things you could ask, and there's a lot because I know I got a list. What would be the primary thing you'd like to start with by asking Bhupesh about Jainism or anything he said so far?
Yes, I think the top question that comes to my mind has to do with specifically with karma and the Jain approach to being free from karma. At which point, of course, you become enlightened, mm-hmm. Moksha, you're freed, liberated from this world, mm-hmm. And into nirvana, into eternal bliss, mm-hmm. and eternal power, eternal, infinite knowledge. You're released into all those things. Mm-hmm. And I guess my primary concern is one of exasperation. If I'm a individual with a significant amount of karma to overcome, how in the world am I supposed to have hope that I can be free from that if it's going to take at least 4 or 5 lifetimes from now for me to be in a place where I can be free from the cycle of suffering? Because if right now I've got 5 lifetimes to go, I mean, this lifetime is enough suffering as it is, how is it that anybody would be attracted to Jainism and say, wow, Jainism gave me hope for my life, when the reality is that there's so much karma I mean, am I right that if I personally right now were to start attempting to be to live by the Tirthankara's teachings, that that it is highly unlikely that I'd be able to achieve enlightenment in this lifetime? Isn't that true?
Well, not to scare you, but at this point, no soul can get enlightened because we are on the fifth era, which is basically the descending.
Right, and so we got a couple thousand years before...
There is.
Right, and so I've got how many reincarnations in that time?
All right, let me start.
I mean, where's the hope?
The hope is you are a human being. You're talking about consciousness. Why are you talking about consciousness? It is your karmas. Why are you here? Why is there a curiosity in yourself to know what is real, what is true?
Well, I mean, I've got a ton of answers to that. I believe it's there because God created me, and that God created me to love me, and that what a man truly desires is unfailing love, better to be poor than a liar about that, and that what I'm longing for is to be united with God in eternal, eternal matrimony, as it were, and the hope as a Christian that I've been given is that that's already been taken care of. Mm-hmm. And that all of my sins right now have been totally washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so for me, I've already got what you're offering. Why would I want to wait another couple thousand years to get what you're offering when I've got it now because the blood of Jesus Christ has covered my sins?
Right, again, we talked about a thing, Anekandwa. These are different viewpoints of what you think is religion is.
Sure.
Here we're talking about Jainism where, you know, we as such... The beliefs are so different. We don't think that anyone can take your karmas out. It's your soul. It's your karmas. The fact that you are here, the fact that you're a human being, why are you not a plant? You believe the plant has an life, right?
I believe the plant is alive, but I believe that God gave me that plant to eat for food because he loves me and he wants me to eat fruit that is sweet. And he wants
and you don't
me
believe
to
the plant has a soul.
There is no soul. That plant is not eternal. It was created by God specifically to nourish us as human beings.
All right. That's different beliefs. But
it's
do
such
you
a
think
majorly different
belief. There are some scientific researchers done that they plants do have feeling. Do you at least agree to that?
No. I have noticed that when you talk to plants, they tend to grow better, but that is very scientific because the oxygen, the CO2 that's coming out of my mouth hits the plant. The plant turns it in, you know, takes it and turns it into oxygen, and, you know, the whole photosynthesis, you know, but in terms of plants actually having feelings, I have no belief whatsoever. I think that is a bogus idea, honestly.
There is a chui mui plant. There is a plant called chui mui. Like when you touch it, it folds itself. What do you call that plant?
I'm not sure, but they have them in Hawaii.
Do you know that?
Yeah. I've heard of plants
now,
like
if there
this.
Is no consciousness in this, what is that which is making them contract or expand when, you know, you touch?
I'm of the opinion that God created the world in such a way that there are certain defense mechanisms that he built into certain plants to protect them for certain reasons from things that come. Like a cactus, you know, is very sharp, and there's different other plants that are able to protect themselves. I.e., you know, when you go to touch it, that it'll recoil and it'll pull back in.
But that
to me is a purely biological.
But let's go back to what you
to
said. You said that Lord has made that cactus the way it is. A few minutes before, you said that God has made those plants for you to eat.
Yeah.
Why do you need to protect them? Why do you need that
because
shell?
That other plant is a plant that's going to be eaten by a different bug that the plant can't protect itself from, so that a animal can eat that bug so that I can eat the animal. The point is that God set up a process, and we're at the top of the food chain, and God, in fact, I'm of the opinion that before the flood that most of the human race was vegetarian, that it wasn't until after the flood happened that the world was no longer capable of sustaining mankind with just the vegetables that are out there. And so that being the case, then God had to make it so that mankind could also eat animals. Nevertheless, God's the one that made that decision, and I'm very much enjoying my steaks and my pork.
Do you, if someone kills a cat in front of you, what will be your feeling?
If they kill the cat because the cat is sick and dying, I'll be glad.
Not
if
sick
they
and
kill
dying.
The cat because they're just being cruel, the Bible is very clear that a righteous man takes good care of his animals. But that same righteous man is encouraged to use those animals for food. The point is that we take good care of the animals. You know, like, I don't need dogs. I don't eat dogs. I don't eat cats. If there was nothing else to eat, I would have no qualms with eating either one of those. I just don't eat them because I don't like their meat any better than I like steak, which I have plenty of.
Right, but dogs in Korea, they eat dogs. So.
Yeah, which is why I probably won't be getting any hamburgers in Korea anytime soon.
But why have you, like, why are you saying that you won't eat dog or anything else than, you know, eating something else?
Because I have meat that is plenteous and available and that is very tasty. I don't have any need to eat a dog.
Taste.
If I needed to, I'd eat it in a second.
Taste.
Yeah.
What is a taste?
Taste is a cool thing that God created so that when I eat something, this burst of flavor comes into my mouth. I think that's a gift from God.
All right. Taste.
Yes.
This is a part of attachment.
It's yes.
Rasendriya.
Yes.
What do people do for this taste? You do all sorts of
things. It is definitely true that there are some people that kill for their lusts of their flesh. And the Bible is abundantly clear that we should never kill people, that is. All right, let me be clear. Mm-hmm. We should never kill people just for the sake of our lusts and our desires. However, the Bible's also abundantly clear that heaven is actually going to be, one part of heaven is going to be a banqueting table mm-hmm. where we will have every kind of delicious food available, that our tastes are something that God gave us, mm-hmm. not to bring suffering into our lives, but because he loves us. But because he loved us so much to give us those tastes, the problem is that we, in free will, have the opportunity to totally make those tastes the most important thing in my life. And that's actually where Jains and Christians are very similar, that we're of the opinion that we should control our tastes mm-hmm. and not let them control us.
Right.
But Christians differ from Jains in that we believe that God gave us those tastes because he wants us to love them. He wants us to enjoy all of life.
When you say God wants us.
Yes.
So you say that God has some...
God has desires.
He has desires.
He is attached to mankind. He loves us so much that he came and he died on our behalf.
If he's a God,
that's what's so amazing.
Why does
about
he
him.
Make differentiation between man and animal? Like, why is that a differentiation?
I'm not exactly sure why there'd be a differentiation. I would say that God created mankind in his own image specifically because he wanted to create a being that he could love and that would be in love with him, kind of like you and your wife. You love her, she loves you, and you live your life together. You have great memories. You have very intimate moments in the bedroom together. You raise kids together. That you guys are committed to one another and you care for one another. That in the same way, God wanted to create a human race that he would have that same kind of connection with, that same kind of love relationship. And in order to do so, he decided that man would be sustained by the food and the animals that exist on the earth.
Right, but
so
why?
God created that on our behalf.
Okay.
Because he loves us.
All right, I'm going to tell you what Jane believes
sure.
on animals and plants. We mentioned before, we talked about it, like Jeev is basically consciousness. And then the living beings are divided into five categories.
Matter, motion, rest, space, and
those
time.
Those are elements.
Elements.
Like
Pudgal.
Life. Those Pudgal is basically the body. But the soul basically has five different bodies. Like it's Ekendriya, Bendriya, Tendriya, Chaurendriya, Panchendriya.
Okay.
Ekendriya means which has only one sense, like tree.
Mm-hmm.
That's a one-sensed living being. And then we have...
A tree is a single sense.
Single sense.
And then you have dual sense.
Then dual sense, which has the touch and the tongue.
Okay, so
and
like an animal.
Like an animal, but okay. Animal with just touch and tongue.
Okay.
Like shank, what do you call, where you get the pearl. Where are pearls come from? Pearl.
Pearl?
Shell.
Pearl?
Pearl.
Pearls?
Ring?
In the sea, like you go and get the pearls?
Pearls.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yes.
What do you call that?
A clam? Oyster, rather?
Yeah,
oyster. Now, that has tongue and sense, but it doesn't have eyes, nose. But there are the third category is basically eyes, nose, and so on.
Interesting.
And animals are five-sensed, too. Humans and animals are five-sensed. And the conscious level is again divided into 10. We call it as pran, which makes us live. Pran means the conscious level. And the conscious level of a plant is way less than an animal. He has the same feelings as you and I do. That's what Jainism believes. And it's absolutely wrong to even kill an ant, because the ant has the same soul as you do, and it has the same feelings
wow.
as you do.
Wow.
Let me jump in for a second. You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner. You're hearing the voices of Bhupesh Mehta, the Secretary of the Jain Society of the Greater Washington, D.C. area, and Senior Pastor Jonathan Schweitzer from Crossroads Valley Chapel in Frederick. And we're talking about Jainism and Christianity and their myriad of differences. Not only is there a difference, it strikes me in what a Christian would. The language differences are going to be interesting. You might not use the same language, but you know what I'm talking about, Bhupesh. Within creation, within the universe, mm-hmm. there are different species of animals, different kinds of living organisms or whatever, and there's kind of a moral equivalency, right? That you know, a cat. And a person, a human being, and a plant, and an amoeba, they're all moral equals. They all have equal rights. They should be protected equally.
Right.
And Jonathan would disagree with that. He already has vehemently on
yeah.
the show today.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, there's this huge difference in God, and Jonathan believing that there is this personal God who has given him permission to eat dogs if he wants to, or mm-hmm. you know, eat fish or cattle or whatever, and so he's got this personal, absolute but still personal God who has desires and yearnings or whatever. Jains don't have that sort of idea of God, and so Jonathan's recourse, if you were to challenge Jonathan on anything, I've known him long enough now, if you challenge him on anything that he believes and you ask him, well, why do you believe that, he's like, because God says so.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to challenge what Jains believe, and you're going to say not the same thing.
Right.
So what's
what would you say?
What's the foundation for what you
the
believe?
The first thing I want to ask is basically when you say God says, God yeah. created you, right?
Yeah.
Why is there a difference between you, Troy, and me? Why are the thinking different? If he's created, why has he not created? Why does he like you more or like me more or like him more? And why does it give you more wealth than someone else? Why is that such
is
a vast difference?
That is the big question that God opens up the entire Bible with, the book of Job, the first book ever written. He identifies that there is a personal evil being by the name of Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, who as soon as God created the world, set himself up to try to destroy everything that God created, to bring a break between our relationship. It'd be kind of like me trying to come over to your life and get your wife to no longer love you. That would be basically what Satan was trying to do. And that being the case, Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the garden and convinced them to disobey God and to do things to God that were basically disobedient and rude. And in doing so, God had to shut them out of the garden.
Okay.
And he shut them, and we call that sin. It's pride. It was disobedience. They disobeyed God. They did what was rude and unkind. And as a result, the world's been getting more and more sinful. And this idea is actually somewhat sinful, similar rather to what you were describing with karma recently, how there's a bit of a downward spiral that people get into. More sin, and then they're more tempted to sin, and then there's more sin, more temptation to sin, you know, and it's very difficult for people to get out of. But we started this discussion out with hope. And Jains, the only hope is for me to look into my heart and to see the God within and to find some kind of a hope that a couple thousand years from now, a myriad of reincarnations from now, you know, maybe a couple hundred reincarnations from now, I'll finally be free. Whereas in Christianity, the hope, it's already taken care of. My hope has been fulfilled, and I have no more work to do except to respond to the grace that God has given me that I can give freely to you, I can give freely to Troy, I can give freely to my wife, to my neighbor, to the hurting and the outcast, because God has given so much to me that I can give away freely. Not because I'm trying to earn some kind of a freedom from reincarnation, but because it's been given to me, and I would freely give it away because he's given me so much.
Now, the first question that I had is, now, since he's given a hope that you're done, so you can do whatever you want because you already know that you're done with it and he's going to take care of you.
The Apostle Paul addressed that in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. The question is, why would I do that? He's restored me into a beautiful love relationship. He's restored me to a beautiful marriage with him. Mm-hmm. Why would I turn around and slap him in the face again? Why would I do that? He's given me this incredible love relationship. He's washed away all my sins. I don't want to go back. That's the reason why I came to him in the first place, because I didn't want all that stuff.
Right.
And so now that he set me free from it by his blood, because he died on the cross so that my sins would be paid for, that's a whole discussion on death that would be a fascinating one to get into with you, because I'm of the opinion that the wages of sin is death, mm-hmm. but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that being the case, he gave all that to me. There's no way that I'm going to turn around and just slap him in the face.
Right.
I'm going to keep on living as righteous as I can, because it's so glorious to live in his kingdom. He's so kind and loving and gentle. Everything that you seem to describe about the United States is way more true about Jesus Christ, and I wouldn't rather do anything but spend time with him.
Right. Now, there was one thing you talked about, the evil thing. Now, who created that evil thing? Was that evil thing created?
Yeah, sin is the opposite of righteousness. You imagine a target.
Right.
You're shooting an arrow at a target. The center of the target is what is righteousness. It's when I treat you with graciousness, I treat you with kindness, I treat you with sincerity, all those things, and I'm hitting the target. If, however, I lie to you and I treat you with rudeness and callousness and in an unkind manner, then I'm not hitting the target. And so the point is that love is when we treat each other with righteousness. When anybody chooses to not treat God with righteousness or treat one another with righteousness, then we sin, and we end up being source of evil. We end up being filled with evil. And
all right.
So evil is when we...
It looks like it's basically a concept of a process, a karma kind of thing, where sin is basically you do something wrong,
yeah.
You're going away from the God, you do something good, you go closer to the God.
Yes, except that once sin entered us, we deserved to die and to spend eternally in hell. And according to Christianity, there's only one way out of that, that somebody else that is holy and righteous and true has to die to cover my sins.
Oh.
And Jesus Christ came and died. He was holy. He was God's own son, holy and righteous and true. And he came and died on behalf of everyone in the human race that wants to accept his salvation.
So you mean to say that there are some more sons of God will come?
No, it happened one time for everybody. It only happened
to people who have done
time.
Wrong. There's no hope for them. Who have mistakenly done something wrong. There's no hope for them. They're
no,
done.
There is hope for them in Christ. Christ is their salvation.
No, but he's already past, right? He is.
Yeah.
He has given his life.
Yeah,
you to
right
take
now.
Your sins.
You right now can choose to accept the grace that God gave through Jesus Christ, and you will be completely washed of all of your karma, of all of your sin, of all the bad stuff.
All right.
You will be washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, right now.
Okay. One thing we talked about is you said that you, if you have more love and you go move towards the God.
No. He moved toward me. That's what I'm saying. I didn't
All
move
right.
toward him.
So,
I accepted his grace.
Right. You accepted his grace.
Yes.
But your conduct is basically if you have a
my
good conduct.
My conduct has changed because he gave me grace and he came close and he lives inside of me. So I'm not able to be righteous moving toward God. He's already come and he lives inside of me. So there's no more moving to do. He's there, and that's the reason that I'm able to be kind and gracious and loving.
Right. Let's go back to the topic of animal killing.
Yeah.
If you hit a dog,
yeah.
Will you feel bad about it?
If I am training the dog to do certain things, I have no problem.
You're driving. You hit a deer. Would you feel bad about it?
Yeah, because there was no need to.
Why?
I have no problem shooting a deer, though, and eating him. In fact, if I happen to hit the deer and he dies,
mm-hmm.
I've always been of the opinion you might as well take that thing home, stick it in the freezer, and have a couple steaks.
You're going to do it yourself?
Well, I've always kind of been crazy enough to think that that would be doable, but I have never done that. I've actually never hit a deer that I could catch afterwards. He ran away. And
we're going to have to kind of tie things up here a little bit. We've got about less than a minute or so left in the show, so I'm going to kind of end there. It's interesting. A lot of the questions that are being asked, and we're going to pick this up again in next week's show, are talking about experiential type of things. When you have this experience, you feel that way. Why is that? And it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if we'll get into it or not next week, but I'm wondering if that's been the common experience always. We have the Disneyfication of our consciousness these days, where Thumper is a cute little cuddly rabbit, and Bambi is a cute little cartoon deer. And we have personified animals in modern contemporary culture. I'm wondering if we went back several hundred years and further, if they'd have the same kind of angst over, doing something mean to a dog or whatever. I'm not sure. But anyway, that was a little insight that I wanted to share. And by the way, for the record, Jonathan's view on the flood and post-flood history with regards to animals that he talked about earlier in the show is certainly not outside of the mainstream, but is not representative of all threads of Christianity.
Yeah, that's debatable.
So anyway, I just thought I'd make that point as we wrap up as well. Bhupesh Mehta, the Secretary of the Jain Society of Greater Washington, D.C., based in Silver Spring, and Senior Pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, Jonathan Schweitzer, who are the guests. Thank you so much. Fascinating show. Loved it very much. Thank you to our sponsor, Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Please visit us online at WFMD.com. Keyword faith. Thanks for listening. God bless.